what a difference 6 weeks makes. I think it's been about 6 weeks since I have actually been on live here. And now, see, I've got something playing that shouldn't be playing. It's going to take me a minute to figure this out, guys. It's been so long. I think it's that. Yeah, there we go. All right. It's been so long that I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I apologize to all of you who have been asking, where's a new show? Where's a new investigation? I actually have gone through about 6 weeks of on and off flu, or what is it, RSV, or I don't know what that new one is, or COVID, or I don't think it was COVID because I did test for COVID, but I just was sick, and then I wasn't, then I was, then I wasn't, and I was again, and now here I am, and I think I'm doing all right now. So I appreciate your patience. I know a lot of you have been looking forward to some new stuff. Investigations are in the works. I promise you we'll be doing some live investigations coming up, and I have some great interviews lined up as well. So all of that is happening. Today we're going to be talking with Melissa St. Hilaire, and she's a professional witch, a spellcaster, a psychic medium. We're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff with Melissa. We actually had her scheduled about a month ago, but again, illness jumped in and kind of made us postpone and delay the discussion. And I know a lot of you are excited about this chat, so we're going to bring her in just a minute. I do have a couple things I want to talk about. At the end of this discussion, I'm going to be telling you where you can see my most recent investigation. It's a collaboration project that I'm doing with Jason Haas. You know him from Ghost Hunters. He and I are, I was about to say stripped down. Those are the words I want to use, but I don't mean in a clothing sense. I mean in an investigation sense. We are just two guys, a couple of cameras going into some very, very interesting locations. The first one we did, you might be familiar with because we did a live investigation on Paranormal Reality TV back in August. It was Bailey Seton Hospital on Staten Island. That video is up. I will tell you where you can see it after my conversation with Melissa. It's really, really cool. And Jason and I are out. We've got a whole schedule of investigations, a slate of I think about a half dozen scheduled right now, another half dozen in the works, where we're going out, just the two of us with cameras in each hand, one in his hand, one in my hand, and we're going into these haunted locations and we're checking them out. And the results so far have been fantastic. So again, I'll tell you how you can watch that, the most recent one, the first one, at the end of my discussion here. Also want to remind you, subscriptions and follows and shares and likes, all very, very important. And I know I don't deserve a whole lot of that right now because I've been away for so long, but I'm back and like I said, we've got a whole bunch of stuff happening. So I'd appreciate it if you'd share the live stream, or if you're watching this after the fact, or you're listening to it as the podcast version, which I know many of you do and prefer that version. That's fine, too. Just please share it out with your friends. Let them know what's happening. Let them know we're here and let them know that we welcome them into our family. So share, subscribe, and like, and all that stuff. Very much appreciated. All right, I've talked for too long. Like I said, we've got a great guest today. We're going to be talking with Melissa St. Hilaire. She's a professional witch. She's can be found at AmericanWitch13, the number 13.com. Also on Instagram as AmericanWitch13. A whole bunch of stuff to talk about with Melissa. She'll give you the details on all of this, but thank goodness we've been able to actually make this happen this time, Melissa.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, finally. Thank you so much for having me.
I just want to start the conversation by making sure I had your social media right, because I don't want to send people to the wrong places. And your website, right? AmericanWitch13.com is the website, and your Instagram as well?
Correct, yeah. And people can find me on TikTok and Facebook and pretty much anywhere online where there's social media platforms. I'm AmericanWitch13.
I want to talk with something in a little with a bit of a somber tone here to start out. We had a tragedy in Baltimore overnight. A cargo ship ran into a support that was holding up part of a bridge crossing a river in Baltimore. And it knocked the support out. The bridge came down. They are, what they're saying, multiple fatalities. people plunging into the river. I mean, it's just horrific when you talk about it. But one of the things that brings to mind, Melissa, and the reason I bring it up, first of all, let me just say our thoughts, our prayers, and our love to all the families who might be suffering through this, of course. But the thing that comes to mind here, I've been a big fan of the Mothman legend and story, in which the Mothman, many people believe that the Mothman was a harbinger of impending doom, or at least was trying to provide some warning of the collapse of the Silver Bridge. And I know that a lot of people, particularly psychics and mediums, tend to get premonitions and feelings when some type of disaster like that is about to happen. First of all, what are your thoughts on that? And secondly, do you ever have anything like that happen to you, get a premonition of sorts?
Yeah, I guess stuff like that all the time. And sometimes it's hard to pinpoint, you know. Years and years ago, when that giant tsunami happened, that was incredibly horrific. I don't think it was the day before, maybe it was like a couple of nights before, I had this really weird dream that I was on a beach with those thatched roofed huts, and there was water everywhere, and I saw people floating in the water. And I remember I told a few people, and everyone was like, oh, that just sounds like an anxiety dream, da 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 da, you know. And then a couple of days later, that tsunami happened, and I was like in total shock, you know. I've had similar dreams like that before plane crashes, before other weird events. And you know, I don't have one every time that there's a strange event, but I definitely have them every once in a while. And I do think that people can be sort of clued into that. I do think that people can predict things. And I mean, look at Nostradamus. I mean, of course, he's a debatable, controversial figure. But I, you know, the Mothman thing is something that absolutely freaking fascinates me, to bring it back to Mothman. The first time I saw the movie with Richard Gere, I absolutely loved it. You know what I mean? And something about it felt very familiar, very, I mean, I know it's such a wild thing, but it felt very real. And, you know, growing up when I was younger, I used to see weird shadow figures out my bedroom window. And I would oftentimes see a shadow figure before something would happen. But for me, it was like, you know, before my parents had a big argument, or, you know what I mean? Like, it was more personal. It wasn't some like big grandiose sort of, you know, event or something like that. You know what I mean? It was usually like for some personal thing. But so, you know, I totally believe that all of this stuff is possible. I would, you know, I'd love to do a deep dive on the Mothman someday and just, you know, I've seen the movie and I've read a little bit, but I haven't really like dove too deeply on that. But I do think there's something there, you know.
I'm going to make you very jealous. I visited Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where all the Mothman stuff occurred for the first time in the fall. We were out doing some live investigations. We did one in Indiana and then one in Tennessee. And like right on the way was Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And we got to stop and kind of walk around. And I didn't get to spend as much time there as I want to. But it's been a story that's fascinated me. And I couldn't help but think of that. Again, a very tragic situation still unfolding. So I don't want to, you know, talk about this too much yet, because we still don't know what happened completely. But that was the first thing that came to my mind. I'm thinking, I wonder if anybody saw anything or had a premonition or anything like that, you know, as many people do. I mean, we had a bunch of that before 9/11. I think there were kids that were drawing pictures of planes hitting buildings before the 9/11 attacks. And, you know, you're shaking your head yes, so you must be aware of some of that too.
Yeah, well, you know, because, yeah, I looked into that, actually, and I read a bunch of, I can't remember the person's name, but there was somebody who put together a bunch of collections of people who had premonitions about that, and they tracked it, and there was, like, a significant number of people had a premonition about 9/11 before it happened. And oddly enough, my husband, who doesn't really believe in all this stuff, I mean, he's been married to me and lived with me long enough that now he's kind of like, maybe there is something to this. But for a long time, you know, he didn't really believe this stuff. And the day before 9/11, he was playing a flight simulator. And as he was playing the flight simulator, his fake plane accidentally crashed into the Twin Towers. And then that happened the next day. And he was on a flight that day. He was supposed to fly from New Jersey back to California the day of 9/11. And his flight, I guess, was later in the day. It ended up being canceled. So he wasn't on any one of those planes. But, you know, so, I mean, I've seen this even in my own home, like weird premonitions to things like this, you know? So I wouldn't be surprised if it came out later on that someone felt something or had a dream or something happened because, you know, and it's peculiar. I only just saw that happened right before I hopped on with you because it's early here and I'm not an early riser. So I literally just get out of bed and I got up and I was like, oh, you know, I got a couple of minutes. Let me check the news. And then I saw this, you know, it's everywhere in the news because it's a horrific event. And my brain started going all over the place. I don't want to speculate because it's too soon to speculate what happened, but I did watch some of the video and it's very peculiar seeing the cargo ship, the lights go off and then on and then off and on. So clearly you can see that there's an electrical malfunction happening, you know, and you can't steer stuff like that when there's no, you know, but yeah, I would not be surprised to hear if someone had some kind of premonition or something.
Well, we'll keep our ears and our eyes open. I want to say hello to a few folks. First of all, Big Hair Tsunami, thank you so much for the super chat right out of the blocks. Love you, man. Always great to see you. And I'm sorry we've been absent for so long. Tally, good to see you. Amanda, Mary Grace, and everybody else who's joining the chat. Fran, I know I'm not catching up here, but I will try to say hello to everybody throughout the course of the day. We're talking with Melissa St. Hilaire, a professional witch, spellcaster, and psychic medium. Let's change the topic from the tragic events of Baltimore over the night, and let's talk a little more about you personally, Melissa. When did all this start for you? When did you become aware, A, of your psychic medium abilities, and also B, I don't know if you become aware of the fact that you are a witch or you decide to become a witch. I'm not sure how that happens.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure how it happens either. Well, you know, I first noticed that I had peculiar abilities when I was 3 years old. And I tell this story a lot, but I don't remember a lot of it because I was so little, you know what I mean? But my grandfather passed away when I was three. And my grandmother was not a particularly sentimental person. I mean, she didn't cry a lot. I never really saw her super emotional. I'm super emotional. I'm emotional about everything all the time. But I walked in on her in her bedroom and she was crying. And I think she was trying to sort of hide that she was crying from me. And I asked her what was wrong. And she said something like, you know, grandpa's gone. And I pointed to a chair in the corner. I was like, no, he's not. He's right over there. And I don't remember a lot of the rest of the conversation, which I know now what that means, because usually if I'm channeling someone, I kind of it's like I blank out for a second and something else can sort of talk through me and then I can come back and it's almost like waking up. But after she had her conversation with me, which I feel like she was asking me questions and I was answering, but the answers weren't things that I should know as a three-year-old. So she sort of determined that she was talking to my grandfather through me. And after that experience, she never dated anyone. And if anyone asked her, she would be like, I'm still married, because in her mind, because I could see grandpa still, grandpa was still around. And she, you know, she also had abilities too, though, because before I was born, she predicted what I would look like. She predicted a lot of things about me. And, you know, she could talk to birds and cats, and she would tell me things like, you know, if you look at the forest at a certain time, you can see fairies out there. So, I mean, she was particularly woo-woo without using those words. Do you know what I mean? And she, you know, she was a Christian. She, you know, she read the Bible. She, you know, she went to church, and I always forget the name of her congregation, but, it's a popular one in Massachusetts. And, you know, she was a Protestant, whatever, but you know, so she wouldn't have, I don't think she would have called herself a witch just because of the negative stigma around those words and things like that. But she was, do you know what I mean? And like, I do know that my grandfather called her a witch because he said that he went to Salem and got himself a witch for a wife.
Was she from the Salem area? So,
She wasn't, but that's where they got married.
Oh,
and,
okay.
You know, and it's so weird. Yeah, and it's so funny to me because it's like, why would they, like, of all the places that, I mean, it's like 45 minutes from where I grew up, Salem is, you know? And I always thought it was kind of interesting that they very particularly chose Salem to get married. So I think there was like something going on that they just didn't really tell me about, you know what I mean? Like, I think she was witchier than she really let on. And so in a weird way, you could say I'm a natural born witch, but, you know, but the thing is it's, there's abilities that you can be born with, but to call yourself a practicing witch, there's a lot of training involved with that as well. There's a lot of research. There's a, you know, I have mentors, I've taken classes, and, you know, so I don't want to say like you have to be a natural born witch to call yourself a witch. Anybody can call themselves a witch. Anybody can do it. You know what I mean? I think, but I feel like I kind of fell into it.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a passion. It's part of you. It's part of who you are. That's really, really important. Your grandmother, you talk about her as though she was a bit of a teacher, although maybe not intentionally, kind of just you absorbed a lot of that from her. How about anybody else in your family also have, whether it's a psychic abilities or a spiritual sensitivities that, you know, most people don't necessarily have?
My dad can hear the dead.
Well, that's pretty profound.
Yeah. So when my other grandfather passed, so the grandmother I was talking about is my mom's mom. But on the other side, my grandfather on my dad's side, he passed away. Gosh, I forget how old I was, but I want to say I was like a preteen. And, yeah, I have a hard time with like death and timelines, you know, it's like, it's a weird thing. But anyway, so when he passed away, my grandmother, who is Italian, and she's very emotional, and she was sort of going into theatrics, and my dad was like, you know, we have to figure out how to calm her down. You know, like she's taking it way too hard. And he kind of said a little prayer to himself, like, and my grandma, that grandma is Catholic, and they're very, very religious. But my dad said this little prayer to himself, like, you know, can you help me? Like, how do I calm her down? And he kind of put the prayer out to his grandfather, his father, my grandfather. And he says that he heard a voice in his ears, and it was very clearly his dad. And it was a message for her. So he walked over to my grandmother, leaned over, whispered in her ear what this message was, and she instantly calmed down, got her breath back, got up, went into the kitchen and started making food. And, you know, if you have an Italian grandma, I don't mean to stereotype, but if you
I had one. My mother was born in Italy, and my father, obviously, Johnson is not Italian. My father was not Italian, but I grew up in an Italian family, Italian culture. So I'm very familiar with the Italian grandmother thing.
Right. Yeah. If she's making food, she's okay. You know what I mean? So like, we know we're like, okay, she's getting the lasagna going. So we're all going to be fine now. But yeah, so she was totally fine. So I said to my dad, I was like, so, you know, what was the message? Because of course, you know, I want to know, like, what was this message that calmed her down? And he said that as soon as it was out of his mouth, it was gone from his mind. He just he channeled, and then he forgot it. And that happens to me a lot. You know, whenever I'm doing mediumship readings for people, especially once I get into the flow of it, it's like something about me as a human and as an individual kind of checks out, and something is just flowing through me. And I don't even know what I'm saying half the time until afterwards. And then I sort of come out of it, and little bits and pieces might come back to me, but the bulk of it is gone. But it usually doesn't matter, because the person I'm sharing it with, it's not for me. It's private information for the person I'm talking to, you know? So, so I make peace with it that way.
Again, and sadly, we don't have a lot of time, and we've got a lot to cover, so I'm going to try to move through some of this kind of quickly.
Yeah, no worries.
You're a professional witch, you're a psychic, you're a medium, you're a spellcaster. Is any one of those at the top of the list, or are they all kind of, you do it all, and it's all equal in your mind?
I would probably put mediumship at the top of the list, because that's something that has always been with me as long as I can remember. There's been times where I've dampened it, like especially when I was in school and socializing, I had to kind of put it on the back burner and not think about it. And I never really called myself a medium. I just knew I was extremely sensitive. You know, I could tell if people didn't like me. It's like I could hear thoughts. I could get feelings. I knew when people were upset and trying to hide it, things like that. So I would say that's the top, because that's my core being without even trying to do anything. And then, you know, witchcraft and spell casting, things like that. It's definitely part of my life. I wake up every day, I do little rituals, and, you know, it's ingrained in my life and how I view the world. But that to me is something more that I have to work at. You know what I mean? Like I have to be mindful. I have to be aware of like what intentions I'm putting out into the world and how I'm helping people and, you know, how I'm using the things in my environment, herbs and what have you. So it's that takes more work. It's not like breathing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. Now, you do this for folks. You do all of the things we've been talking about. You offer those services for folks. Is that what you do full time, or do you do other things as well?
I'm also a writer. So that was the reason why I'm a filmmaker. The reason why I moved to Los Angeles was to write and you know, make documentaries and things like that. So that was my number one passion and what I was hoping to make a living doing. And all this other stuff was just like a hobby. It was just something I did on the side. And then somewhere along the way, my paths crossed. And, you know, so now the witchcraft and the readings, and that's kind of become how I make a living, but I'm also still writing. So it's a mix of both.
Okay. So I've got to ask you this question. I didn't know this going into our discussion that you were actually a filmmaker as well. Are you still working to become a filmmaker? Have you made films already? Where are you in that timeline?
Well, I put it on hold for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, I wrote several scripts in the 90s and early aughts for a production company, and nothing really came of those. But I made some short films. Right now, I have a documentary series out called Secrets of the Craft that is, you can find it on YouTube. And it's with Dead Air Full Spectrum is the channel that I did that for. And I'm hoping to do a sequel to that at some point. And, you know, I've got ideas percolating. I was going to do a documentary on American witchcraft, but that had to be put on hold. And I'd still like to do that someday, but I'm not sure. I think I might just do these little web series for a while first. But yeah, so it's still there. I still want to do it. You know, I also have fiction stuff that I've written, but I've kind of put that like on hold for now.
Please, I'll tell you what, I don't know if it was the same with you, but the COVID interruption in our lives changed everything. Prior to COVID, in addition to doing this type of stuff, I was a promoter of a horror film convention called Scarecon, and I did them twice a year, and I did them for 11 years, and then COVID made me stop for a couple of years, and I haven't been able to reignite that. Everything seems to have changed. Is that part of your story as well? Did it change you too?
100%. I actually had a meeting with an agent and a Hollywood actress whose name I'm not going to say just because I haven't got clearance from her to use her name. But she was interested in producing the project, and we had a meeting scheduled the week that the lockdown happened. So we you know, postponed it thinking, oh, it's just going to be a couple of weeks or whatever. Though I had a funny feeling the whole time. I was like, this is not, and I kept saying to my husband, I'm like, this is not going to be a couple of weeks. Like, we have got to get ready for the long haul. Something's going on here. But we kept postponing it and finally just disappeared because, you know, and that was going to be American Witch, the documentary. That's what that was going to be. And that was the whole reason for creating the website and the Instagram and all the things. And then the pandemic killed the project.
Yeah, I think that that's the case for a lot of people. Let's talk about what it means to be a witch. I think that, you know, if I say, oh, my guest today is a psychic medium, most of my audience knows exactly what that means. Or if I say today, you know, my guest today is a paranormal investigator, almost everybody in my audience knows what that is. When I say my guest today is a witch, not everybody has the same thing conjured in their mind, to use a pun of a word. What does it mean to you to be a witch?
Gosh, what it means to me is to be in tune with nature, you know, to be able to listen to my environment and to not only be observant and aware of everything around me, but also be able to grab the hands of fate and change it at my will. And, you know, some people can look at that negatively and some people can look at it positively, you know, and the way that I use it is to better my own life and to better the lives of others. So, you know, I don't have anything against witches who hex or curse or, you know, play with the negative magic. I have no problem with them, but I tend to not go in that direction just because I'm so sensitive that if I were to harm someone, it harms me. You know what I mean? Whether it's just my natural being, you know, I'm too sensitive for that. But, you know, I generally just use it to help people, but I use it in a way that is tied to my intuition and my mediumship. So it's sort of like all kind of ends up working together. So I think of it as sort of like spirit craft because, you know, I'm like Sam, talking to a client and they think they want a spell crafting. I'll talk to my spirits. I'll talk to their spirits, find out, is it safe for them to do a spell crafting? What, you know, what would work for them? That kind of a thing. So it all kind of comes together, but it's all of it is in service of my community and other people.
Okay, so you mentioned something. You said you don't practice negative magic, but I'm assuming by that inference that you're saying there are those that do.
Yes.
that's a little bit scary. Now, when we talk about spell casting, you know, again, people who aren't necessarily aware of maybe how you would define that word are thinking, you know. Forgive me for being very, very stereotypical here when in the way I describe this, but I don't know how better to do it. And please take it as kind of tongue in cheek. But, you know, Eye of Newt and toadstools and, you know, that kind of thing. Right. I mean, that would be the pop culture version of spell casting. I'm assuming that's not what it really is.
I mean, it is and it isn't. You know what I mean? So a lot of those old fashioned terms aren't really what the words are. You know, I actually right now can't remember what Eye of Newt is to for the life of me, but there's one where it's like elf's ear, but it's just lavender, you know?
Okay.
So there's a lot of there's a lot of coded language and old grimoires because they were trying to protect the information. So they would use like, you know, just terms that they knew, but the term people would use today is gatekeeping, but I don't really like using that word because there was a reason why they kept the stuff private back then. It wasn't to keep people out because they wanted to keep the knowledge for themselves. It was more because some of it was dangerous knowledge and they didn't want anyone to hurt themselves. You know what I mean? So, but it is kind of that, you know, but the thing about spellcrafting is, honestly, the simplest way to describe it is it's prayer, but it's prayer with tools. You know what I mean? So you're basically, and I would say with prayer, prayer is a lot of like, I guess the difference would be prayer would be asking for something. With spell casting, you're saying it is so, I make it so, you know, I'm not just asking if I can, you know, get the job or, you know, attract love or something like that. I'm telling the universe, like, I am going to get this job or I'm going to attract love or like whatever it is that you want to do with your spell crafting, you know? And then the miscellaneous things like the Eye of Newt or whatever, any tools that we use to make the spell happen, it's to enhance the initial intention, you know, it's to focus. So like, you know, say I want to do a spell to protect someone because they're going through a hard time or whatever. I would light a white candle. I would probably put some gardenia on it, some rue, you know, anything, any herbs or essential oils that carried the property of protection. And the reason for that is because there's a belief that these different herbs carry an aura and that you can tap into the aura or the energy of those herbs and then use that to boost your spell, boost your intention. And, you know, there's a belief that you can do spells, and I know this is true because I've done it, but you can do spells without doing a candle, without doing any kind of craft or anything like that. But the crafting part of it just helps to organize your mind, keep you focused and not distracted and screw up.
What types of things? You mentioned job and love. I mean, obviously, those are probably the two most important things in most people's lives, I would think.
Yes.
But what other types of things can spell casting help influence?
Oh, my gosh. Anything. I mean, honestly, the best type of spells, the ones that I enjoy doing the most, are the ones that help people in their inner world. You know, so like, you know, say you have a huge test coming up and you're super nervous and worried. Well, let's do a spell to give you some confidence and calm you down. And, you know, I might even throw in a little mantra for the person to do so they can like look in a mirror and say a mantra like, I'm going to pass this test, or, you know what I mean? So it's, you know, those are my favorite kind of spells. Confidence boosting spells are my absolute favorite, because I feel like a lot of people struggle with that. And that just having confidence can open up so many doors for a person. Like, never, you know, talk about job or attracting love, just be confident and you get all the things, you know. You can help a person with grief, you know, heal a broken heart. There are some health ones, but I get a little iffy with those, because my thing is like, go to a doctor.
I'll
do my best.
I'm glad you said that. Thank you for saying that. You know, it's funny you chose test as an example. Right above me, basically, my daughter is studying frantically for a test she needs to take. And she's already in the workforce. She's taking a test for professional accreditation. And she's so nervous about it. We probably should have had this conversation a couple weeks ago. You probably would have been able to help her, because she is very nervous about it.
Well, can I give you a tip? So a tip with this that you can tell her, it's a visualization exercise. So before going into a test like that, I like to imagine myself, how will I feel once I've passed the test, once I'm done? And I try to, it's not just visual, it's also a feeling thing. You kind of put yourself in the mindset and the vibration of, I've taken the test, I've passed it, and I've done really well, and how will I feel then? And then I try to hold on to that feeling going into the test, to sort of trick myself into having the confidence and to feeling, and because a lot of times we fail tests not because we don't know the material, but because we're so freaking nervous we blank out or what have you. So that if you can sort of Jedi mind trick yourself into feeling like you've already passed before you go in, then you can be calm while you take it, and then you will pass.
Right after our conversation, I'm going to share that with her. Thank you for that advice. Talk a little bit more about when you work with a client and they say, I'm anxious. I've got a job interview and I don't know, you know, I don't think I'm going to get the job. What can you do to help me? I mean, obviously, as a psychic, as a medium, and as a spellcaster, there's a whole bunch of tools in your toolbox, if you will. What's your process, and how do you go through deciding what's going to be the best way to help that person?
Well, the first thing I do is I read their energy, which I know sounds really weird, but what I kind of do is it's almost like remote viewing or astral projection. It's like I kind of leave my space and I go into their space and I just read the energy around them first and foremost. What is their environment like? Does it feel chaotic? Is that the problem? You know what I mean? If their energy feels calm and, you know, inside them, it's just confidence, then I sort of look inside and I just feel it out. And then I'll ask them questions once I feel out the energy, like, oh, this is what I'm feeling. Does this feel accurate? Is this true? And then based on what I'm feeling, I'm just going to change my decision-making process of about how I'm going to help the person. And then the next level of that is to talk to their spirit guides or their spirits, whatever's around them. I just kind of clue into my own guides and I'm like, hey, can you talk to their guides? Tell me anything that they need. And sometimes I get a little extra information that way. And you know, of course, then just talking to them and asking questions, you know, and that's sort of the, you know, you're not allowed to say this as a psychic, but I'm always giving away secrets, but like, you got to kind of Sherlock Holmes them a little bit too, you know. You just kind of like ask them some questions and feel how they respond to answers, you know, like, oh, this is what they're nervous about. So I'm going to help them. Another weird thing that I can do And the Green Man doesn't really, that's the store that I work at. They don't really like to do fortune telling or future casting because, you know, if you're wrong, whatever. But so, you know, I always try to say, you know, we have to say like it's for entertainment purposes only, blah, 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 just so, you know. But I call it future mapping. Like I can see based on how things are happening right now, I can see outcomes of things. There's debate as to how a person can do that. Is it purely psychic and prophetic, or is it just pattern recognition? You know what I mean? So it's oh no, did I just
I can still hear you. The video's a little choppy, but it's still good.
okay, yeah, I was like something just happened. But there's a it's like a if someone tells me what's going on with their life and I can just kind of feel it out, I can it's like in my brain I can see the flow of their life, and then I can see where things start to branch out, you know, and it could be like a river flowing through a forest. And then at periodic times, it's going to branch out. And then sometimes it branches out just because of the way of the land, but sometimes it branches out because something falls and splits the river or something like that. And so I can see to a certain degree, like, oh, if this person does this, this thing is going to happen. Or if they do this other thing is going to happen. And I can go to a certain degree, and then at a certain point it branches out so much, there's so many different possibilities that it's like it's kind of, you know, pointless at that at that juncture, you know. So I think of it as a little Doctor Strange-ish. But you know, and sometimes it's like surprisingly accurate. I have a client who's also become a friend, and she had been trying for this one particular type of job for like 6 years, and she would be okay with me sharing this because she's been telling everybody. But and she came in for a reading and she asked me, she's like, when am I going to get the job? And I was like, and I just kind of like looked at it and I was like, 3 to 5 months. And she got the job in 4 months from that reading. And she's like, and she said that during the reading, she was like, she kind of, not that she didn't doubt me because she's seen my abilities, but she was, but there was a part of her was like, I've been trying to get this job for 6 years. How in the hell is it going to happen in 3 to 5 months? This doesn't make any sense. And then boom, it happened, you know? And she was a little bit afterwards, she was like, did you make that happen? And I was like, well, I saw it, but sometimes I do make stuff happen without even doing a spell just because I care so much about all of my clients. I care about people, and I just want everybody to do well and get what they want. That it's possible that if someone is asking me something that they really hope for, that I'm sort of in the moment, kind of putting my energy on it and saying, I will it so. Like, I really want this person to get the thing, you know? But so it's a little combination of both there.
I want to say thanks to Matt for the gifted cookie in Foxhole Pilled. Thank you so much for that. And I failed to say hello to our Foxhole Pilled viewers. Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. By the way, White Wings 1776 in Foxhole Pilled says, "You look, Melissa, you look a lot about like her sit like White Wings' sister. She passed away 13 years ago, and White Wings says it's very, very spooky that you look so much
Oh.
like her."
Well, sending so much love, and I'm so sorry for your loss. Like, and that I know that's hard.
And I don't know if White Wings is a he or she, so I'm not sure what to say. But White Wings has been thinking about her sister, about her for a lot lately. So it's kind of synergistic that you are here today looking a lot like her. So maybe that
Oh, I just
provides
get
some
chills.
comfort. Yeah, maybe that provides some comfort. I want to remind everybody we're talking with Melissa St. Hilaire today. Melissa can be found at her website, which is AmericanWitch13.com. Also on social media as AmericanWitch13. Is it the same on other social media as it is on Instagram, American Witch 13, Melissa?
Yep. It's, yeah, across the board, it's all the same.
That makes it easy. I want to talk more about spellcasting because, first of all, do you have a sense, and I don't even know how to ask this question, and if you don't have a way to answer it, that's fine, but what's the success rate? Do you have you know, half the time you feel like the outcomes are what you wanted, or how does it fall?
Well, that's a hard one to answer because in a weird way I want to almost, I mean, I shouldn't say 100% because nothing is ever guaranteed, but I'm going to say 80. My guides are screaming at me, say 80% because that feels right. But, you know, even sometimes when a spell doesn't work out, it does. And I know that sounds really strange, but a lot of it is, you know, does the person really know what they want? You know, sometimes a person will ask for something, but deep down it's somehow not what they really want, or the universe just doesn't have it that planned out for that person for whatever reason. Maybe they think they want it, but it would be harmful to them in some way or something like that. So even when a spell doesn't work out, it's like, I feel like it still does its job, if that makes sense.
Well, I imagine there's got to be, you know, we all have free will. And just like when I talk to people who say they, you know, they're psychic and they can actually look into the future, they say, you know, when I look into the future, that doesn't mean the person whose future I'm looking at, they're not going to change their mind or do something differently to change the outcome. Right. So I imagine that there's some of that in spellcasting as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, because people do have free will. And I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've said to a person like who's asked for future information, and I'll give them future information. I'll be like, but just know that me telling you this now is going to change your future, because now I've given you the information and you can decide to not do the thing or whatever. You know what I mean? So free will is a huge part of it. And that's largely why I'm very careful around love spells, you know, because I never want to do a spell that where, like, say, you know, Jane loves Joe, but Joe doesn't love Jane, and Jane wants Joe to love Jane. I'm not going to force Joe to love Jane. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to do a spell that's going to take away someone's free will. And, you know, and what I would do is something more like attract someone like Joe, you know what I mean? And so it gives, if Joe has any interest, then maybe he gets a little extra nudge, a little sparkle to like check out Jane. But if he has no interest, he has the right to be like, no, not into this. You know what I mean? So yeah, there is a bit of free will in there as well.
So this is the million-dollar question. Again, if there's no answer, there's no answer. But how does spellcasting work? How does it actually, how can you, whether it's through intention or it's through mixture of components or whatever it is, how does it actually work?
Well, you know, I think there's, to a certain degree, there is no answer to that question. But the way that I think of it as, I think as spellcrafting is a cheat code to the universe. You know, I'm a gamer. I play a lot of games. I played The Sims for a bazillion years. Like, I started with the first Sims, you know, and there was a cheat code in there where you could do, like, you know, there was Motherlode and there was Rosebud, and you could, you know, all of a sudden have a bunch of simoleons, and that helps with
just,
life.
Just so I know, you're speaking my language, because I'm a gamer as well.
Okay,
so
cool.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Perfect. So it's the Control Alt C. That's what spellcasting is for me, you know. And I also, I would say with different practitioners, it's going to be different. So some people are planetary practitioners, some are astrological. So they're actually, you know, and that's very high complex magic, where you're looking at where all of the planets are at a particular time of day, and you're seeing what the energies are, and you can tap into that celestial universal energy and use that to make something happen. I do a little bit of that, but I get overwhelmed by it. So I'm more of a spirit person. I'm in the flow, I'm mercurial, I'm moody. So like, for me, the way that spells work is I talk to spirits and I'm like, hey, this is what I want. Can we make this happen? And what do I need to do on my end to help you? And I sometimes think of the candles and stuff that I'm doing as the offerings to the spirits to carry out the spell that I want to do. Not everybody works that way. You know, some people very decidedly don't want to work with spirits when they do their magic, and that's when they're going to do planetary or astrological or even just natural, you know? But yeah, I just see it as sort of like, it's almost like how do I even put this? When I look around myself at the universe, I see everything that we see that's immediate, like my bookcase behind me or what have you. But underneath that, I see a grid. It's like everywhere I look, I see this weird grid-like pattern, and I can see pathways to things. So it's sort of, that's where the cheat code part comes in. You know, you're just sort of like grabbing the threads of the universe and rewriting it to get the outcome that you want.
We are quickly running out of time. So I want to, a couple things we kind of have to rush through, but I want to talk about your book. Tell us about the book, 30 Real Signs from the Afterlife.
Yeah, so this is a book a publisher came to me. They were looking for a quote-unquote expert medium, and I've done a lot of research for decades on this topic. So I poured everything that I've learned both from studying but also from practical application of all the stuff that I do, and I put it all into this book. The idea is to tell people that you don't really need me to talk to spirits. We all have this ability. Obviously, some are going to, you know, be better at it than others. And I was sort of born wide open, but we can all open up these abilities, these frequencies. And so the book is sort of a almost kind of like a practical how-to book, you know, the first part of it to help people to open up and to meditate and to listen and things like that. And then the latter part of the book is a reference book. So I went through and studied all of the possible signs that one could experience, from paranormal to nature and weather to animals. I studied the folklore behind it, dream dictionaries, history, philosophy, everything that you can imagine about all of these different things. And then my own personal experience, and I threw it all, I kind of simplified it to like the key, most key components. So it's a quick read, but I wanted to pack it with jam pack it with knowledge. So if someone experiences a sign like lights flickering or seeing a particular kind of bird or weird weather that happens, this is a reference book that one can use to sort of help piece together what it could potentially mean. But then I also include the caveat that while this is all the stuff I've gathered, it's really just a launch pad to find your own meaning, to find your own spirit language, because different things are going to mean different things to different people, you know. So I also, there in the back of the book, there's a little journal area where you can record your spirit encounters and write down, like, you know, oh, this was Melissa's meaning, but I didn't get that from this experience. I'm going to write my own meaning down. And then you might find that a black cat means a vastly different thing to different people, you know.
And the book is available on Amazon. And just so folks know, I put the link in the chats. I think they populated all the chats, so hopefully it's easy access. Is it available anywhere else, Melissa?
Yeah, it's on. So it's Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Target, Books a Million, or whatever they're called. Pretty much anywhere. It's distributed by Simon and Schuster. So anywhere you buy books, it's going to be there. The publisher is Callisto Media under Sourcebooks, which is an imprint of Penguin Random House. So I believe they're going to be in bookstores as well, and in Targets and things like that. So it should be everywhere that you can find books online and in real life, I think. And it comes out on May 7th, and you can pre-order now. And on May 11th, I'm going to be doing like a book signing / workshop. That's both a virtual event and an in-person event. So that's going to be a little tricky, but I'm going to do it. And that's just going to be a one-off mediumship class to sort of, you know, give people exercises and a guided meditation to sort of get them in the flow of being able to do this with the book.
That was going to be my, first of all, let me just say, we're probably going to have you come back just to spend 40 minutes or so talking about the book. We're going to probably need to do that. But my next question, and the final thing we'll have time for here today, is to talk about the classes that you offer. You do offer classes that help guide people through sharpening these abilities and these ideas. Is it for everything, or do you have specific things that you teach?
So I teach psychic development and mediumship training, and also I can also teach spellcrafting, but at the Green Man store, there are older practitioners there who've been doing it way longer than me. So they've kind of, they take care of the spellcrafting part of it, but I do have a mediumship for witches class where I blend mediumship with spellcrafting, which is, it's super fun. I think of it as like camp for witches. Because, you know, we're crafting and we're doing exercises, and it's very hands-on and fun. But, you know, my whole thing is to teach people how to tune into their own innate abilities, because I really, really, truly believe we all have these abilities, and not just to talk to spirits. You know what I mean? You can use intuition and this sort of stuff in an office job, you know, making decisions creatively. It's super good. The workshop I'm doing on May 11th is great for witches and mediums, but also phenomenal for creative people, because I'm going to be doing an automatic writing thing. And automatic writing is such a great way to help channel. And like, especially if you have like writer's block, like I don't believe in writer's block, because there's a way to break through it. You know what I mean? And it's just getting out of your own way and going with the flow, you know? So that's my biggest thing that I teach.
Okay. So I can't end yet, because Matt generously gifted a cookie in the Foxhole chat, and Matt has a question. So I need to ask you, Matt sees repeating numbers a lot, like 1111 or others, and wants to know if there's any significance to that, that you can share with him.
Yeah, I do believe there's significance to that. I know some people just think it's coincidence, you know, but to me, numbers are the language of the universe. And so if you see repeating numbers, if that, to me, that's the universe giving you messages. It's cluing you in. The general meaning, no matter what the numbers would be, I would say would be, you know, spirit, God, universe, whatever it is that you believe in, that creator entity is noticing you. The spirits are noticing you, and they are giving you little clues to let you know, like, you're on the right path, you're protected, you're guided. You know what I mean? So it's, to me, I look at it, whenever that happens, I feel good, because I'm like, oh, okay, excellent. I'm on the right path. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? And then sometimes if it's 1111, I'll also make a wish just for fun.
Yeah, a lot of folks see significance in 1111. It's interesting, and I frequently will come across those numbers in sequence too. So I always find that fascinating. Melissa, we've kept you longer than we said we would, and we appreciate your time. You mentioned the book, you mentioned the classes, and also the services you offer. Where can people find you to be able to take advantage of some of this stuff?
So you want to go to on social media, there's the Green Man store, and then if you just Google Green Man North Hollywood, and you'll find their website. I think it's just thegreenmanstore.com. But if you go to their psychics page, that's where people can book me for readings or spell crafting.
And I'm assuming you do it virtually, because most of our, you know, we've got people all over the world watching. So you do, yes. You'll do that on, okay.
Yeah, I do it on the phone or with Zoom, you know, if people want to see me, because sometimes it's better to see each other. But yeah, I do it. I do it all from my office. So you'll probably see the same background if you book me.
I'm going to have to stop you again, because there was one more question that I wanted to answer. I feel like Columbo, you know, Columbo. Oh, one more thing, ma'am. Green Man Store. Is it what I think it is? Does that name mean what I think it means?
Yes.
The Green Man of Lore, the...
Green Man of Lore. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The people who run it, they're the Ked tradition, and the individual who's the manager of Sora is Griffin, and he has a kinship with the Green Man, and the Green Man, it's just, you know, it's symbolic of a lot of different things. I'm not going to go into detail, but people can Google it, because it would take me too long to explain, but you can Google it.
Okay, so they can go to the Green Man Store's website, and where else can they find you and information about booking you for services?
The best place, honestly, to find me anywhere is my Instagram. That's where I'm the most active, so AmericanWitch13. But you can also email me directly, and I can hook you up with anything you need. So that's Melissa@AmericanWitch13.com.
Melissa@AmericanWitch13.com. Melissa, thank you so much. This was an interview 2 months in the making, and we were able to get it done finally. And I'm really glad we did, because you're terrific and you're a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to having you back at some point.
I'm happy to be back.
All right. Thank you
so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Melissa St. Hilaire, again, you can find more information at AmericanWitch13.com or on Instagram at AmericanWitch13. And you can look up the Green Man Store if you want to find a way to book a psychic reading or get more information about the store as well. What a great person. What a great conversation. And they always go so fast when they're good like that. And this one was no exception. I did promise everyone, however, that at the end of the conversation, I would let you know how you can find and watch and participate through comments or whatever in my newer project, which is a collaboration with Jason Hawes from Ghost Hunters. He and I are going out and we are doing a very basic and old school, I guess is a better way to put it, old school investigations at some very haunted or reportedly haunted locations. And those investigations, again, no camera people, no audio people, no production people. It's just him. It's just me. We're each holding a camera. Sometimes we'll set up a static camera on a tripod to capture something if we think it's worth it. We're not using a lot of devices with fancy lights. That's not the intention of this. This is more eyes, ears, camera, audio, that kind of thing. And so far, it's been a blast doing it this way, getting away from the distractions of all these pieces of equipment that, hey, I'm not saying they don't serve their purpose. We use them on Paranormal Reality TV's live investigations. So there is a place for them. But there's also a place for just using your eyes and your ears and really trying to go back to the basics. Again, old school. And Jason Hawes and I are doing that in these investigations. We're filming them. We're doing quick edits. There's nothing fancy about the editing. And we're packaging them and we're putting them up on YouTube for you to enjoy. And I'll put up a link here so you can see. You can find these investigations on YouTube at Jason Hawes's YouTube channel. So it's pretty easy to find. It's just YouTube/, and I don't think you need the at symbol in there. I think you can just do youtube.com/Jason Hawes. But either way, it's easy to find the channel. I would suggest that in addition to being a subscriber and a supporter of Paranormal Reality TV, you subscribe and support the Jason Hawes YouTube channel, because we've got two others investigations that we've already filmed. We're in the process of editing, and we've got many others scheduled. There's some really, really great things in our future that we're going to be able to share with you, and we're looking forward to doing that. So again, go to YouTube, find Jason Hawes's channel, and subscribe. Obviously, just a subscription on YouTube, there's no charge for. So you can just click the button and be part of the group there too. And the first episode of Bailey Seton Hospital's investigation is already there. It's live. You can watch it. It's about 35 minutes long. And I hope you enjoy it. Let me know what you think of these investigations. So far, that one has been received very, very well. That's going to do it for today. I appreciate everybody's time. Thank you so much for being here. We have another interview scheduled for tomorrow. I'll release details on what that is, and it'll be at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon Eastern time, like today's interview was. Thanks again for being here, everybody. Love that we're back at it, and that you're all jumping in and participating. We'll see you again soon.